They're writing a book is probably the biggest personal development exercise available.
I love that.
There, when you write, when you write a book, so writing for me, I've always said it's the best way for me to process emotion. When I don't know what I think, I write about it and then I find out and I'm like, oh, okay, there it is.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many other things they love talking about, which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and heavy topics, you'll gain fresh insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. This fun and quirky podcast is sponsored by Scalewind, outsourcing made smarter. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hey guys, good morning and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business, the non-business podcast for business owners. We have a ton of podcasts that always discuss about all the things that make their business better, all the tactical, strategic things. But here, we're just here to relax, talk about stuff that's interesting. It's like we're just hanging out by the pool, sipping margaritas, and having a fun time with our business besties. And speaking of business bestie, I have actually a really special guest today. Her name is Melissa Drake. She's an author, TEDx speaker, and a consultant. She considers herself a book midwife. That's awesome. I love that. Helping others conceive, birth, and grow their creations. I always say a book is not just someone's words, but it's actually their life's work. And Melissa is like this amazing person that brings your life's work into pages so that it can be cherished more by people, and probably in different generations. Her authentic and intuitive nature supports authors by providing a safe place to share their vulnerable stories and feel supported throughout the process of writing and self-publishing a book. So, to those who don't know, Melissa Drake is one of the very few people that I respect. And I allow, the allow part is most important to edit my work because I am cocky and arrogant like that.
Everybody is, Carla. You're not the only one.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, to grant us her wisdom, here's Melissa. How are you today, Melissa?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me. And I also love that you are actually by the pool at the moment. So I think that's perfect introduction. I don't know if you're having a margarita just yet, but I'm
No, I'm
grateful to
having an
be here
iced
with you.
tea, unfortunately.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, Melissa, to those who don't know, Melissa and I have been working together for years in random projects. Actually, we have worked in PR, in marketing, now in the operational side of her clients' businesses. So we've not just enjoyed being each other's friends, obviously, but we also enjoy working with each other. And of course, the reason why I invited Melissa here is she has a lot of wisdom about writing a book. So if you are an entrepreneur who's thinking about writing a book or writing your second book, there's definitely a lot to learn here. So tell us your background, Melissa. Tell us about you and what got you into this business.
Thank you. So I have been writing and editing in some capacity for, this is going to date me a lot, but for 3 decades, so for a very long time. And in 2015, my corporate job was eliminated, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to write. And I took a coaching certification program, and the leader there, one of his quotes that I just like, it really went straight to my heart was, "Your story is your gold." And I kind of latched on to that as a mantra, "Your story is your gold," because everyone has a story, and it's the unearthing of that that helps helps you do what you're meant to do in life. And so I started editing for that coaching organization. John Kim is the person, that's his quote. And he has a coaching organization. I started editing for their coaches and working with their blogs and helping people get published in online publications. And I just really, really enjoyed working with people and unearthing those stories. And I found a lot of patterns in that, as different as we are, all of our stories are so similar. They're all very much the same. And I just like the heart aspect of working with the story. So then I wrote my first book in 2020 and learned the process from end to end. And then just started, like I said, I've been editing, and then I've kind of evolved that into, I consider myself, like I said, a book midwife or a publishing partner, someone that's going to hold your hand from the very beginning, inception, to publishing and promotion of the book afterwards.
Yeah, there's definitely one big thing that, you know, I want my listeners to take from that intro, you know, that self intro. And I think the magic about what Melissa does, actually, and what makes her awesome, just the best person to write and edit your book, is she genuinely likes writing and reading. And I think that, like Melissa, honestly, if I give her a pamphlet about the Jehovah's Witness or the back of a shampoo bottle or a Dostoevsky novel, I think she will read all of it with the same gusto.
And I'll come back with edits, I'm sure.
She'll come back with edits and insights. Honestly, like Melissa and I share like chick lit, like philosophical book, like, you know, business book, like recommendations. And she's really in love with writing and reading equally. And I think that's what most people should look for when they look for someone who can help them write their book, publish their book, market their book. Even if you guys don't work with Melissa, we don't care. I think that's a thing to remember.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not transactional for me. It's not about just providing edits or publishing. It's it's literal heart work. Like it's very connected and intimate almost. I consider edits love. Like they are something that will help you take your work to the next level. And if someone doesn't love you enough to tell you the truth, they don't really love you.
Yeah.
So as hard as it can be to get the edits, they come from a loving place.
Exactly. That's why the pen is red, guys. It comes from love. So oh my gosh, I think they just started doing here something really loud. So what are the most common misconceptions that people have about your business or about writing a book?
So about writing a book, there's several. One is that it's easy, and it can be. But the other one is that it's hard, and it can be that too. So it also depends on what your expectations are when you go into it. And toward the end, I'll tell you about a process that makes it really, really easy. The other one, it's going to sound kind of counterintuitive based on my opening of the quote of "your story is your gold," is that the book isn't really about your story. And I know that sounds funny, but everybody has a story. And what makes me want to read your story? How are you going to position that story that gives me some tangible advice, direction, or support that's going to give me value? Like, we're all so bombarded with content at every turn. There's all sorts of content. Why would I want to read Carla's story just for the sake of reading Carla's story? What is the takeaway that you're going to deliver? So a lot of times people come to me and they just, you know, vomit up their story. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But now what? And it's the now what where the work comes in. Another one is that they can do it alone and for free. And while that is technically true, it is absolutely not advisable. This comes up sometimes too, which is that it's okay to use someone else's stuff. Like, I'm really intuitive when I edit, and I'll be reading and then I'm like, hey, this is a different voice. Where did this come from? And I'll Google it and find it something they just copied off the internet. That's not okay. can't do that. And I would say the biggest one from the misconception is that they're writing a book is probably the biggest personal development exercise available.
I love that.
There, when you write, yeah, when you write a book, so writing for me, I've always said it's the best way for me to process emotion. When I don't know what I think, I write about it and then I find out and I'm like, oh, okay, there it is. And when you're writing, especially if you're telling aspects of your story that have any trauma or drama to it, there's a lot of stuff that comes up. And when you are able to put that stuff into an order that makes sense, you're healing it. So I often say that the book is just the tangible evidence of the healing that happens along the way. And it's not just healing. Like if you're writing a business book, you're healing your understanding of that content. So you're really making, like I used to write, I used to be a trainer. So I would write training manuals and documentation. And that is the best way to learn. Go out and ask the questions and then write it down. And as you're doing that, you're building your repertoire of understanding on that subject. So it's not just putting words on a page. You're actually changing your energy. You're changing your experience based on what you write. You're either healing the past or manifesting the future or creating a new understanding of content.
I love that. I think what I realized actually while you were speaking, and I wanted to share it with people here, is that amazing, smart people are the best people to write a book. So we can start with that, right? Mm-hmm. They're the best people to write books. But the problem with some amazing and smart people is they have a lot of ego in them. And sometimes writing a book feels like hearing yourself talk. You're just writing a book to hear yourself talk. But I think we all have to remember that if, you know, any of you guys are thinking about writing a book, we have to be conscious that it is an act of giving. And it's a selfless act. It is not hearing yourself talk. It is not so you can get people's applause. It is to put your words on paper so that this paper can change someone's life or help them move a little bit forward, even just 1% forward where they are.
Exactly. Exactly. You're 100% right. And even, and I was guilty of this with my first book. I had someone review the blurb on the back of the book. And he's like, this is all about you. Like, what is the reader going to get out of this? And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. And I think that's what happens. They come like, oh, I have this great story. I want to share it. Great. And how can you deliver value at the same time? And you're absolutely right. It is a gift. It's not a,
it's not just like,
the right word.
Like pumping your chest, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there are a lot of books that come out in that way of pumping your chest. And, you know, I'm not here to judge, but I just think there's so much more depth when you're looking at it from an audience perspective. And even like my second book, I had, I was working with a company who's huge into data. And he's like, the title, it's not about you. The cover, it's not about you. It's what the audience wants. And so we actually tested the cover and the title to see what the audience wanted. So it really, really wasn't about me at all, which was completely different than the first book of, okay, here's me, here's my story.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Those who are listening, like, it's okay. It's okay to admit that you feel a certain way when you write a book. And that's why you hire experts like Melissa to help you guide into the message that would benefit your audience and your community the most. Like I'm not scared to say that my ego is big and I've done amazing things in my life. And I genuinely feel that I'm ahead of my peers. But if I write my second book, I'll definitely be open and tell my consultant, for example, Melissa, say, Melissa, this is how I feel. This is what I want to say in my book, but I want this. What angle can we use so that this will help the most amount of people? Like, it's okay to admit that you have ego. Like, it's fun.
Yes, absolutely. It's important. You wouldn't be where you are without it. So thank it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for sharing that. It's always good to hear about these like behind the scenes, behind the scenes like activities when they're writing a book, because sometimes, you know, especially in the writing world, we have activities that just help us literally put words on a paper.
Yes.
What are some activities or some exercises that will help people get out of their heads and actually write a book or the book?
So to get out of the head to do anything, my first recommendation is always dance, or just moving your body in some way. And whether that's walking or hiking or CrossFit or anything along those lines is just move your body because that's the number one way, the quickest way to get out of your head. And then the other thing is just to begin. And I have actually a 10-step process to create something from scratch. And it works for writing books, it works for creating websites, it works for creating programs, courses, whatever. It's all the same steps. And the number one is know that anything's possible. You can create what you desire. And then the next one is begin and start. And I think, particularly as influencers or people who have been online for a long time, we already have a lot of the content. So when we begin, we create a structure. And again, I have a free template that is a structure for you. And know that you don't have to go in order. There is no like, I'm going to go from chapter one to chapter 15. You can just plug in chapter seven if you want, because chances are you wrote chapter seven 4 years ago when you were writing about whatever. And so just plugging that in. Obviously, you want to start with an outline first. And I actually help clients do that too when they're like, oh, I have this story. I don't know where to begin. We have a big conversation about it. I ask them questions and then I send them back. Here's your chapters, and these are the things you want to cover in each chapter. So once you have that outline and the structure, then you just start plugging things in, right? Plug in all the content that you already have and then write as it comes to you. And one of the ways to get it to come to you is to dance or do something in nature and just keep at it. The thing that helped me the most with getting the book done was setting a deadline. And I actually met someone when I went to adult summer camp, and he had scheduled a book release party before he even started writing his book. And he was determined to have his book delivered the day of the party. And I was like, there's no way he's going to get it done in that time. But by God, he did. So having the
Just blackmailing
accountability.
yourself.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It works. It works. And I highly recommend that. Like, absolutely having not only just having a deadline, but making yourself accountable. And you don't have to go to the extent of renting a hall and inviting 100 people and all of that, but like telling your group, telling your peers, I'm writing a book and I'm going to have it done by this date is one of the most powerful ways to actually get it done.
I love that. And I can actually attest to that because in 2017, I wrote a book. And that's how I forced myself because I've always dreamed of writing a book. And so what I did was I talked to the printing press. I talked to the printing press, hey, how fast can you produce 1,000 copies in this quality that I want? And I
Yes.
think they said like 4 weeks from like proof to finish. Like they'll make like two sample copies and that would like take a week. And then the big print is gonna take 3 weeks, super max. Like they said it's gonna be done in like 3 weeks, but let's do 4 weeks just to be sure. So what I actually did was I sold it. I launched it, I sold it to people, and I had a freebie for the pre-orders.
Yes.
I think it was an engraved Parker pen and a special like leather planner, which I probably made like $10 per book. I sold it for like $37, only in the Philippines. And but then the orders kept coming, and now I'm like, I have to do it. Because like
You haven't put that
I
on Amazon
money.
yet, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm too scared, honestly, Melissa. I need like
What?
hypnosis and like mushrooms, and I need a thing of you and
I got
mushroom
you.
and
I got you.
I haven't. Yeah, we gotta talk about that, actually.
Yeah. Sorry, didn't
Yeah.
mean to put you on the spot, but yeah.
Now you're dude,
Because I
my
haven't read
heart
the
is
book
beating so
because I'm
fast
not in
right
the
now.
Philippines.
I'm getting nervous. You gotta come here to
Good.
Mexico. I'm gonna pay for your
Oh, I
flight and
am.
everything.
Oh,
And
my goodness.
let's mastermind it.
I'm totally down for that. Absolutely down for
Okay, Melissa just cornered me into a vacation and a
that.
publication schedule. So this is what she does, guys.
Oh.
This is why she's so good at what she does. She just blackmails and corners people.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah, totally doing it. All right, we're masterminding in Mexico. We got
Life is
this.
so hard. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so even for people and entrepreneurs who have who's used to help like me, you know, I have like 200 employees. I'm used to help, but it's still hard
Oh,
for
this is
me
totally
and for a lot
different.
of
Yeah.
people, yeah, to ask for help when they write
Yes.
a book. So what are
Yes.
the what's the kind of help that someone actually needs when they write a book? Who are the people that they should hire? And what's the most important, say, pieces of help that they should get?
So there are several things. Coaching is number one, and there's two different kinds of coaching. The first kind of coaching, and by the way, I provide all of these services, but the first kind of coaching is what are the steps? Most people don't have any idea where to begin, how to keep moving forward, how to publish, how to promote. Like they're just lost. So I literally take them by the hand and say, okay, right now I need you to focus on this. I need you to do this, and I want you to think about this. And they don't have to think about anything other than writing and taking care of the steps as I deliver them. But back to your point about it being hard to ask for help, you have to trust me. You have to trust that I'm going to tell you what to do, when to do it, and that it's not for you to stress about. And that can be a challenge sometimes. But that's one of the greatest gifts that I give my clients is that they can trust me explicitly. I will tell them exactly what to do, when to do it, keep things on track, and they don't have to worry about it. But I also understand because I'm one of these people too, like I like to be in control and I want to know what's going on. But then the other kind of coaching is particularly if you're doing it, writing anything about your story that has any trauma or drama or anything that's going to stir up that healing aspect for you, is someone who can talk you down from the ledge when it's tough. And that happens frequently. And I will say my editor is amazing. I met him through the coaching program that I certified through. So he's also a coach. And just being able to talk to someone and say, this is hard, and have someone like essentially, we as publishing partners create this safe space for the vulnerability because so much of the book is vulnerable. And so, just allowing yourself to be held in that process, to be witnessed, to be seen, to be understood, and supported through that. The other things that they need help with. Obviously, our editing, that's number one for me. Professional cover is super important. And then, if you want to play the algorithms and get the bestseller status, that's another area that requires some specialized attention as well. So, those are the things I typically suggest hiring or getting help with at a minimum.
Yeah, if you really think about it, guys, like, first of all, your typing speed is fast, and then you have these thoughts in your head. Like, the actual act of writing is not hard, but
No,
it's the other
that's probably the
things around it.
easiest. Just
It's the other
get
things around it. Like, you guys just literally saw real time how nervous I got when she said, publish your book. And I've already written the book, and I've already sold the book. And I consider the book to have been successful because it helped me sell my events, and but I still have that fear. And honestly, And I've mentioned this in my other podcast episode, I think, like for women specifically, the fear is tied to shame. The shame of
Yes.
failure, the shame of no one buying my book, the shame of a possible one-star review. So
Yeah.
these challenges, are not actually very talked about out in the open,
No.
and they are the hardest challenges in writing and publishing a book.
Yes, 100%. Writing is
Writing
the
is the
easiest
easiest
part.
part.
And then, as you mentioned, the fear around not selling a lot of copies or getting bad reviews, that prevents people from actually putting their work out there. So when they have all of this rush of excitement, and then the book is out there, and then promoting your book is a lifetime gig. It's something you have to do on a regular basis. And then, they might get the bestseller status, then it just drops off the face of the earth because they're like, oh, this is so much work. And it's tied to shame, and it's also tied to personal beliefs. Am I good enough? Or who am I to write this book? And who wants to read what I have to say? And do I really have the skills to put this out there? And so that's one of the things that I really love about NLP is we can literally go in and change those beliefs so that they're in a better position to promote their book when it comes time to promote the book.
I love that. To people who don't know, Melissa is actually certified in NLP, and that's one of the tools that she has in her artillery, and that's what makes her really, a great coach to help you in this, very intimate, and very important journey in your life of writing a book. You mentioned earlier, Melissa, that one of the things that people, you and I mentioned, one of the things that people, that stops people from writing and publishing a book is like they're just scared of the results. They're scared of the shame. Scared no one will read it. It won't sell. Maybe you can give us some quick tips on how we can ensure or at least improve the chances of our books selling, or our or people downloading our book, or like loving our book, getting good reviews. So this is going to get a little tactical, but maybe you can share us like the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely. So the first thing is making sure that you're personally in a good place. So doing what it takes to get you and your beliefs aligned with the fact that this is a good thing. You've put good work out, and I promise you, if you work with me, your book won't be published if it's not amazing. Like, I just have impeccable quality standards. So just coming from that place of knowing that you've done your best to put your work out there, making sure that your mindset is good. And then I actually have a good friend who has a publishing company called Brave Healer Productions, and she has created an amazing launch checklist that will show you all of the things you need to do for launch. And essentially, it's the same thing we do in our business, right? We're getting buy-in from our people. We're giving away free copies of the book. We're getting testimonials. We're getting everything lined up so that when it's time to launch, your book already has the amazing reviews. It already has the support of the people that are in your audience, the people who already know, like, and trust you. And then from there, it's just continuing to put yourself out there and continuing to promote and just being relentless in your pursuit. And I think that one of the things I've recently started doing is connecting my authors with Carla's team at Fix and Scalewind to create all of the beautiful components that go with that. So right now we're doing for an author, here's all the Amazon reviews and here's quotes from the book. So when I edit, I automatically pull out key, like really poignant parts of the book that would resonate with readers, and then we put those on memes and we share those, creating their speaker reel, creating a speaker one sheet, and just getting them all set up to continue to promote their book and also their work. Like one of my recent authors, he told me, he's like, my job as a coach is so much easier now that my book is out because people know who I am, they know what my practice is like, they know what I'm about, and they already have this foundation of understanding before they come to me. So just using your book as the the tool it was designed to be. Most people don't go to the extent of writing a book just to say they wrote a book. It's for the legacy aspect that you mentioned earlier, Carla, about like, this is for generations to come. Sadly, my son hasn't read my book, but I know one day he will. And just knowing that it's out there.
take him out of the will.
That's hilarious. But just knowing that it's out there for generations, my grandkids are going to read my book someday. That's amazing.
No, I love so, that.
Yeah, and you know, promoting it at speaking events and using it to get speaking events and just helping people with your word is just a beautiful experience.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of benefits, you know, in the business side of writing a book, having a book, having written a book, even having the word or title author is good for your brand. Because if you think about it, there's a very small percentage of people who actually end up writing a book and being able to
3%
do so displays 3%?
3%, yep.
Of people
3% of the people who say they're going to write a book.
Oh, who say that they're going to write a book, actually write a book. I thought 3% of people was like...
Oh, totally. No, it's probably much lower than that. Yes, sorry. yeah, no.
That was great. That was a great clarification. Wow, yes. That's a small percentage, because the other thing is, you know, there's your brain releases dopamine even when before you do something. If you tell people that you're doing something,
yes,
brain already gets dopamine or some sort of a fulfillment out of it. That sometimes you don't end up doing it, and that's actually one of the reasons why I didn't tell anyone about my podcast until my podcast was ready to be launched, and then I just like, hey world.
Here it is.
Here's my podcast.
I love it.
Let me know what you think.
I absolutely love it. Yeah. I just read a meme recently that said something like, don't let people who don't have the same vision as you edit your plans or edit your vision. And I think that's super important. So when you talk about, I'm not going to share this until it's done, because sometimes when we tell people we're going to write a book, they're like, oh. What makes you know what I mean? Even if they don't say it, you can feel the energy of like, what makes you think you can write a book? so just there's advantages both ways. You can be quiet about it and be like, hey, I did the thing. But then also there's power in the accountability of I'm doing this and keep me accountable to this state.
Yeah, that's a very good nuance, because it, you know, both ways can work. Right.
Yes.
And I think ultimately it's the energy behind it, because if the energy is more like I'm telling people so that
they'll validate me,
think a certain way. Yeah, exactly. Yes. They think a certain way of me without me doing it, or I'm telling people because I honor my word so much, but fortunately I'm not that diligent if I don't ask for people's help.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And you know, diligence is not easy. And that's why most kids don't end up in the dean's list. Let's just think about that.
Yes. Yeah. But accountability and community is what helps. Like, and that was one of the coach I just finished his book. He was like, just having someone tell me what to do and when to do it. Like, that's the easiest thing to keep moving. Just having someone on your side.
I think the other advantage too of having a coach like Melissa, guys, is being ready of what's to come, really. When you write the book and it's done and it's edited, it's published, it's shipped to its reader, there's actually a lot of work that comes after. And honestly, that kind of stressed me out. I'm not scared to admit that when I published my book, because now I had to do these other activities surrounding the book, keep promoting the book, and all the way still feeling that little fear and that little voice in your head that you could still fail. Carla, your job's not done.
Well, and you know what? We're never done with anything. Like, we're never done with the book might be out there, but like I said, the promotion of it is a lifetime gig. It's going to be out there for generations to come. So just knowing that it's just an ongoing thing that's available is really beautiful, and not putting all of the stress around, I have to do all of this promotion now, but understanding that that's probably a bigger job than writing the book.
Yeah, I love that. And the readiness, comes from also being able to accept help. So definitely don't do this alone, guys. It's like
No.
learning how to surf or something.
Yes.
Like, don't do it alone, and it's a lifetime of learning,
Right. You mentioned that you didn't use those words, but essentially your book gives you and your brand instant credibility. And you want that credibility to be valuable, to be professional, to be quality. And
Exactly.
you absolutely can do it on your own. Like I have friends on my Facebook timeline who, I'm a best-selling author, and I'm like, I've read your book and it's full of typos. Like that's just, if you're gonna put yourself out there in that way, just please do it in the most professional way that you can.
Exactly. I love that because if you're doing this thing to be viewed a certain way, it should be
Right.
all play because alignment is very important in branding, and the ROI of branding is lifetime. So,
Yes.
everyone, that's why people pay for like expensive logos, expensive design, they pay for PR or verification on social media, or all of these things, because these things ROI you for a very long time. If you are an author, if you're a writer, an author, and you have a following that loves learning from you, if you have people that love learning from you,
Yep.
I bet whatever business you'll be in, it's going to be easy for you to find your first few clients. And that's also one thing that helps, that a book helps you with.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's an instant door opener.
Yeah, and it's you giving yourself a voice. It's you telling a story in the way that you want it to be told. It's giving a lot of power back.
Yes. Yes. And then allowing your audience to say, is this the person that I'm aligned with? Is this the kind of person I want to work with?
Yeah, I'm just going to share. So there's this show called Selling Sunset.
Oh, yeah.
You
I
watch
haven't
it?
seen it. No, but it's right down the street from me because I live in the OC. So,
Right,
yeah.
so Selling the OC is like the third installment. They have like Selling Tampa, but the first most famous one was Selling Sunset, and they sell high-end multi-million-dollar properties in LA. And if you watch the show, you'll probably find it a little shallow because it's just a bunch of like beautiful girls with cat fights or like gossiping about each
This is
other.
why I didn't watch it, right? Okay. I'm listening.
But these things are actually my cheap thrill sometimes. Like, I just love, and also as a marketer, in my heart, I love reading people's intentions, motivations, like just the psychology behind it all. And
Yes.
it also kind of, so it's entertaining too. So I'm gonna admit that it's entertaining to me because it's professionals that made this show. And there's two characters in that show. Her name is Chrishell, and the other character is Christine Quinn. And Christine is kind of like the villain in the show. And then Chrishell is not a villain, but she also has a very interesting like background. I actually bought both of their books. So it's
Okay.
kind of a they were able to tell their own story. And I actually like them for very different reasons, and it gave me an insight about how they grew up, and it just made me appreciate them more as humans, honestly.
I believe that.
So
Absolutely believe that.
it doesn't matter who you are, there's a side of your story that people will find either entertaining or inspirational, and that they can learn from.
Absolutely. Stories are gold.
Yeah. Can you share with us, Melissa, like maybe one or two very memorable clients and stories that you had in your career as an editor?
Absolutely. So probably one of my favorites was a couple of years ago, a woman a heartbreaking story, like absolutely heartbreaking story. She lost her 20-month-old daughter, jump in their backyard pool. And after her daughter died, she started channeling her daughter. And she, so every morning she would get up and ask questions, and then the answers would come, and she just kept writing and writing. And I had heard about the death before the book, so I knew her marginally, just through Facebook. And then she came to me, and I worked with her story. And originally, she was going to market the story to parents who've lost children. But when I got into the content, it was the same content that I'm hearing from people like Dolores Cannon and Phil Good and Lori Ladd and some of the great channelers that are out there right now. And so I just knew that it was valid, that it was appropriate. And she's asking big questions like, what about religion and what about politics and what happens after we die? And it was just such a powerful book. And I was like, you need to position this. This isn't for only parents who've lost children. This is for people who are going through a spiritual awakening. This is for people who are, just on that life's path of unlearning what they once knew and finding out what's really true for themselves. And so she did. She completely changed the title, the cover, the everything. And we haven't published it yet because she's one of those. I actually have several clients that are like, well, when the universe tells me it's time to move, we'll move. And so we haven't published it, but we have actually printed it, and it's all ready to go. But that was just such a beautiful experience. And she and I have become close friends. I also use a video messaging service with all of my clients, and it's just a really nice way to intimately connect. She came to San Diego. I drove down and met with her. So it's just like a beautiful opening for support. I have another client who wrote a book about several had a very similar childhood to mine. This is the coolest thing, is that when the books come to me, it's always relevant for what's going on in my life, and it kind of freaks me out a little bit, but it's cool at the same time. So she, empath, had a story very similar to mine, and just seeing it from the other side of their eyes, and knowing that your story is my story and her story is his story, and that we're just all so connected. And it's just a beautiful experience. But this process for this particular client, it wasn't so much about the book that was healing. It was allowing her to be held and supported by someone in the process. So almost like a maternal, I've got you. She hadn't been able to trust women in particular. So to be able to trust me to lead her through this process was very life-changing for both of us, honestly. So me being able to show up for her in a way that she trusted and could continue moving forward and produce the book was just beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And then I mentioned the guy who wrote the book about he's a coach. And again, it was a book about spiritual awakening. Like, oh, this is what my last 2 years are like. How interesting. Right now I'm about to publish a book about addiction, which I have experience with as well. So it's really interesting the way that and the timing of when the books come to me and what happens to be going on in my life.
Wow, I love that. I'm slightly jealous of what you do because getting that close to these kinds of stories is such a special privilege.
It's truly an honor. Like, it is absolutely an honor. It's a privilege. You nailed it.
That's crazy. Wow. I got like goosebumps and kind of wanted to cry about that mom who lost her child.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Those stories are not easy to tell. And I think the other, another thing too about, entrepreneurs who might be scared to like open up and be vulnerable in their books. Like, even if you're an entrepreneur, even if you're smart and awesome at what you do and super successful multimillionaire, like
Yes.
you still need to show your reader or your audience that you're human and
Yes.
they appreciate you more for that.
Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that because that's one of the biggest problems that authors run into is like they won't go deep enough or they won't share the bad stuff because they're ashamed of it or they're embarrassed by it. But as you said, it makes them human, but even deeper than that, it makes them relatable because now you're not on a pedestal anymore. It's not like Carla who has this perfect life. It's like Carla who's been through the same shit as me, and now we're on the same level. Like, and really we all are on the same level. So it just makes it more relatable. And the other side of that is when people go through really challenging times, I always say like, this is really unfortunate, and it's going to make your story even more remarkable and more relatable when you come out the other side of it. So just keeping that in mind, like knowing that these trials that we face are things that ultimately make our story, the fact that we're existing today, absolutely remarkable. Like if people knew all of the stuff that I've been through, even just in the last couple of years, but long before that, like it would blow their freaking minds. And it's remarkable that I'm still standing and I'm still on the side of hope and inspiration and help and support and service. And just being able to share that is what pulls in your audience.
Right, absolutely. So, a book is really just an asset, and having someone like Melissa to help you guide in, guide your way in building this asset is always like super valuable. So, for people who are kind of more DIY or that we want to help, can you share with us, Melissa, about maybe like a short list of sources, resources, software,
Absolutely.
services that you feel would help them.
Yes, absolutely. So the first one I'm going to recommend is my own, and it's completely free. It's awakenyourinnerauthor.com, and it's like a 50-page course essentially about what goes into writing a book and what things you need to think about in terms of beginning writing. It's the whole 10-step process that I mentioned earlier. It also includes a template in Word where you can start writing. And there's a Facebook group associated with that where you can join and ask questions, and I provide support in that group. All of my authors have used that. It also includes that launch checklist that I mentioned from my partner, Brave Healer Productions. So that's like, that'll get you. Honestly, I actually have clients who didn't hire me, but used that and did it all on their own. So it's, again, it is completely possible to do it alone and for free. I don't advise it, but it is possible. I also highly recommend Grammarly. And there is a service called WordTune if you're stuck. This is online. If you're stuck and you can't figure out how to word something, you just plug it in there and it'll give you different options, which is very helpful. And then, of course, making sure that you have an editor and a professional cover design. I use 99 Designs for my clients, and they can choose for you can be very specific about what you're looking for. You have usually a minimum of 20 different cover options, and they're all very professional.
All right, sounds good. That's a really awesome list. Like, you got the basics down, Grammarly. I love WordTune too. And you know, there's tons of tools right now that really makes the some of the redundant or tedious parts of writing a book just easier for everyone. You know, if you want to like dip your toe, even if you guys want to write like a 30-page ebook, like you just practice. You know, it's practice. Every word on a page is practice
Absolutely.
for your future bestseller. Let's just take that,
Yes.
right? I'm
Yes.
gonna use that quote.
Absolutely, please do. Yeah, that's fantastic.
And even if you know, for me, I consider myself like a trained, you know, writer. I've even given like seminars on writing. I used to be a journalist and all that. But even the mere fact of writing to yourself, writing on a journal, is always exercise, guys, towards this
Yes.
future piece of content. Even if it's not a book, this future piece of content that's going to be amazing for your brand, your business, and can help other people.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to add to that list, hashtag shameless plug, I would also love to
Yes.
recommend Copy Geeks. So
Yes.
copygeeks.com is one of our companies at Scalewind that lets you hire content writers that can help either edit your work, proofread your work using any software that you want, arrange it, give you suggestions, and even ghostwrite your book if you know if that's something that you want. You can also do exercises with them to ask you certain questions to really get the content out of you. And if you need extra help, you know, like why don't you get help, right? Like if hiring a
Yes.
coach intimidates you, hire an assistant, you know, maybe it will help.
Yes. I will say I have used Copy Geeks, and as a writer, I was like, I don't know if I can outsource this, and I was super happy with it. And I absolutely am trying to figure out a way to, because I have people that come to me that want a book ghostwritten, and I don't personally ghostwrite, but I would oversee the process working with your team because they did a fantastic job. And the other recommendation that I have is to record yourself. So go on Zoom or just do a video or even an audio, and then have that transcribed. So some people speak, it's easier for them to speak their content than it is to write it. So you can be on a walk and just, talking to your phone, voice record it, transcribe it, and then use that as your basis. I've done that with clients before too, where I do some light ghostwriting, but it's their content. So I'm like, give me a WhatsApp voice memo and tell me everything about this chapter. And then I transcribe it and, play around with the formatting and the, just making sure that it sounds good. And there are amazing ghostwriting services out there too. Like I've had clients use services for that too. So there's definitely plenty of options. It's really about just getting your story out in the way that's the most authentic and aligned for you and your brand.
All right, sounds good. So now that we're nearing the, you know, the end of our podcast, this has been a super awesome conversation, Melissa. And I'm so grateful that you were able to share, you know, your wealth of knowledge to my listeners. Tell us, how can we find you? How can we find your work? And how can people start working with you?
I love it. So, awakenyourinnerauthor.com is the download that'll automatically connect you and put you on my mailing list. My personal website is uncorpedinfluence.com, uncorped influence.com. That's also my Instagram handle. My DMs are always open. My email is melissa@uncorpedinfluence.com. And yeah, absolutely love to hear about your story and help you get it out in the world.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Don't forget also Melissa's amazing resource, Awaken Your Inner Author. Is that what it is?
Yes, awakenyourinnerauthor.com.
AwakenYourInnerAuthor.com. It's a great resource if you want to start somewhere, start slow, no pressure. And you can continue following Melissa on any of the social media platforms that she mentioned. She's a great wealth of knowledge and, you know, all things about writing, publishing a book. So definitely follow her.
Thank you again, Carla. Appreciate
All
you.
right. Well, thank you also. It's been my honor to have this conversation, and let's definitely plan that vacation soon.
Yes, I'm like next time, next conversation in Mexico by the pool, right?
Okay, yeah, we're not gonna talk until then. All right. Cool. I'll block you. This is a toxic friendship. I'm just learning. Siri, please play toxic. Well,
My goodness.
I think we're having too much fun without alcohol, which is always an amazing thing. So you guys, please follow Melissa. If you're thinking of writing a book, let her give you some pieces of her mind about it. Thank you. And this has been None of Your Business. See you next week for another fun and refreshing episode. And I'm excited to hear all about your businesses also and what you've learned from this podcast. So please leave me a comment or a rating or a follow on Spotify and Apple. So see you next week, guys. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Support us by following me on Instagram at Carla Stefan, KarlaStefan, and our sponsor, Scalewind_outsourcing. Also, if you like this series, find us on Spotify and Apple iTunes, None of Your Business. You can also follow me on YouTube. My handle is Carla Singson, and maybe leave us a comment or a review because you're cool like that. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two requirements. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week, and remember, everything here is none of your business.